manager for the second time in the middle of the night. If you had been in his shoes, would you have made the follow-up call? But of course, a second phone call wasn't the only possible action. What else could the security guard have done? Even before placing the phone call, he could have asked both of the pair to show some kind of picture identification. They drove to the plant, so at least one of them should have a driver's license. The fact that they had originally given phony names would have been immediately obvious. A professional would have come equipped with fake ID, but these teenagers had not taken that precaution. In any case, Leroy should have examined their identification credentials and written down the information. If they both insisted they had no identification, he should then have walked them to the car to retrieve the company ID badge that Tom Stilton claimed he had left there. Following the phone call, one of the security people should have stayed with the pair until they left the building, and then walked them to their car and written down the license plate number. If he had been observant enough, he would have noted that the plate, the one that the attacker had purchased at a flea market, did not have a valid registration sticker, and that should have been reason enough to detain the pair for further investigation. Mitnick message. Manipulative people usually have very attractive personalities. They are typically fast on their feet and quite articulate. Social engineers are also skilled at distracting people's thought processes so that they cooperate. To think that any one particular person is not vulnerable to this manipulation is to underestimate the skill and the killer instinct of the social engineer. A good social engineer, on the other hand, never underestimates his adversary. Dumpster diving. Dumpster diving is a term that describes pawing through a target's garbage in search of valuable information. The amount of information you can learn about a target is astounding. Most people don't give much thought to what they're discarding at home. Phone bills, credit card statements, medical prescription bottles, bank statements, work-related materials, and so much more. At work, employees must be made aware that people do look through trash to obtain information that may benefit them. During my high school years, I used to go digging through the trash behind the local phone company buildings, often alone but occasionally with friends who shared an interest in learning more about the telephone company. Once you became a seasoned dumpster diver, you learn a few tricks, such as how to make special efforts to avoid the bags from the restrooms and the necessity of wearing gloves. Dumpster diving isn't enjoyable, but the payoff was extraordinary. Internal company telephone directories, computer manuals, employee lists, discarded printouts showing how to program switching equipment, and more. All there for the taking. I'd schedule visits for nights when new manuals were being issued, because the trash containers would have plenty of old ones, thoughtlessly thrown away. And I'd go at other odd times as well, looking for any memos, letters, reports, and so forth, that might offer some interesting gems of information. On arriving, I'd find some cardboard boxes, pull them out, and set them aside. If anyone challenged me, which happened now and then, I'd say that a friend was moving, and I was just looking for boxes to help him pack. The guard never noticed all the documents I had put in the boxes to take home. In some cases, he'd tell me to get lost, so I'd just move to another phone company central office. I don't know what it's like today, but back then it was easy to tell which bags might contain something of interest. The floor sweepings and cafeteria garbage were loose in the large bags, while the office waste baskets were all lined with white disposable trash bags, which the cleaning crew would lift out one by one and wrap a tie around. One time, while searching with some friends, we came up with some sheets of paper torn up by hand. And not just torn up, someone had gone to the trouble of ripping the sheets into tiny pieces, all conveniently thrown out in a single 5-gallon trash bag. We took the bag to a local donut shop, dumped the pieces out on a table, and started assembling them one by one. We were all puzzle doers, so this offered the stimulating challenge of a giant jigsaw puzzle, but turned out to have been more than a childish reward. When done, we had pieced together the entire account name and password list for one of the company's critical computer systems. Were our dumpster diving exploits worth the risk and the effort? You bet they were. Even more than you would think, because the risk is zero. It was true then, and still true today. As long as you're not trespassing, pouring through someone else's trash is 100% legal. Of course, phone freaks and hackers aren't the only ones with their heads in trash cans. Police departments around the country paw through trash regularly, and a parade of people from mafia dons to petty embezzlers have been convicted based in part on evidence gathered from their rubbish. Intelligence agencies, including our own, have resorted to this method for years. It may be a tactic too low down for James Bond. Moviegoers would much rather watch him outfoxing the villain and bedding a beauty than standing up to his knees in garbage. Real-life spies are less squeamish when something of value may be bagged among the banana peels and coffee grounds, the newspapers and grocery lists, especially if gathering the information doesn't put them in harm's way. Cash for trash. Corporations play the dumpster diving game, too. Newspapers had a field day in June 2000, reporting that Oracle Corporation, whose CEO, Larry Ellison, is probably the nation's most outspoken foe of Microsoft, had hired an investigative firm that had been caught with their hands in the cookie jar. It seems the investigators wanted trash from a Microsoft-supported lobbying outfit, ACT, but they didn't want to risk getting caught. According to press reports, the investigative firm sent in a woman who offered the janitors $60 to let her have the ACT trash. They turned her down. She was back the next night, upping the offer to $500 for the cleaners and $200 for the supervisor. The janitors turned her down and then turned her in. Leading online journalist Declan McCullough, taking a leaf from literature, titled his Wired news story on the episode, "'Twas Oracle That Spied on MS." Time magazine nailed